with the Maharal, it opens up a whole new dimension. And the Maharal said this very briefly. Let me just remind you, the Maharal said that we all know that Avraham Avinu went through 10 tests in his life. It says in Pirkei Avos, Asar Nisyonos Nisnasa Avraham Avinu V'Amad B'Chulam. Avraham Avinu went through 10 tests. And the Medrash says that in the chus of the 10 tests, the 10 challenges, test sounds like something you get in school. In other words, 10 very serious challenges that Avraham Avinu had in his life, like we all have in our lives, and the question is, are we going to get through it, or are we not going to get through it? The question is, are we going to become defeated from it, or are we going to grow from it? That's what the word nisayon means. So every time a challenge comes our way, we're talking about the kind that hurt. Like, if it doesn't hurt, it's not a challenge. So whenever a challenge comes our way, you know, what we have to consciously, I think, repeat in our mind, this is what you see from Avraham Avinu, is, are we going to grow from this, or are we going to just say, throw in the towel and be defeated by it?
Is there any other rejection test?
I don't know. Probably because the Maharal says that it takes ten, and this is the greatness of the number 10, to get to, and this is what the Maharal says, la'amitas atzmai. So it wasn't that the 10 tests were just like, okay, grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, okay, now you're graduating, you know, grade 6. Because if you look at the 10 tests of Avraham Avinu, you all named them a couple of days ago, you're able to name almost all of them. They should go in the order of minakal elakosha. Right, they should go from the easiest test. Like, that's the way it works in the educational system. You had a test, you know. Okay, now let's get the harder test, and the harder test, and the harder test. You know, it's a 10. If you look at what would you say was the hardest test of Avraham Avinu? Let's say sacrificing his son. Let's from a human point of view, that would have been the hardest test. It was by far not the last test, chronologically. So if the point was that Avraham Avinu was going through different challenges in order to graduate finally and become Avraham, you know, to begin the Avinu family, you know, to become like the patriarch of the Jewish people, should have gone from Minakal El Akosha. Yet you see that it was out of sequential order. So what's the reason for that? So the Maharal says it doesn't have to go in order, because it's not about, okay, now you've done this, let's do that, now you've done that, let's do this. It's about, there are 10 parts of the life, personality, neshama, Seichel, Nefesh, Ruach of Avraham Avinu that has to become Shalem. The Ramchal, by the way, enumerates that there were, this is the Ramchal and Derech Hashem, that there were 10 different parts of Avraham Avinu that we call the Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, and then the 7 Sphirois. Doesn't make a difference what they mean Kabbalistically, but there were 10 different, the personality, the emotional aspect, the rational aspect, 10 different parts of the reflex, you know, the initial reaction, the gut reaction. There's all kinds of there's 10 divisions of Avraham Avinu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to challenge each one of them. The order is not important. What was important is that they're all covered. You understand? Like, what's the difference with the order? It's not that one is necessarily bigger than the other. They all have to be covered. You got to cover these 10 things in order for Avraham Avinu to become, as the Maharal says, lahotzi amitas atzmot, in order for it to become emes. So this, he said, was a very, very deep thing, because, as the Maharal says, because yesh anosh, I don't have the words in front of me, but there are people, he said, that do all of the right things, so it looks like they've excelled in all 10 areas, but they really haven't. Marim is atzmom kitzadik. They present as a tzaddik, avaleinam tzaddikim, but they're not tzaddikim. Now, I don't think that the Maharal is talking about fakers or hypocrites that walk around acting like a tzaddik and they're really not a tzaddik. I don't think that's what he means. He means to say that, you know, okay, I'm doing the tzaddik thing, but am I really, really there? Like, am I really, really there? And that you don't know until the righteousness is challenged. And if the righteousness is challenged, and you're able to be righteous through that challenge, continue to have the amount of faith that Avraham Avinu had, continue to have the amount of chesed that Avraham Avinu had, if you can stick with it through the challenge, then you're a real tzaddik. So until then, it's peripheral. So it's not a matter of hypocrisy or or a charlatan of some sort. That was never the case with Avraham Avinu. The question is, how deep is it? You understand this? It's a different idea. So the point of the ten nisyonos was to bring out the Amitas Asma. Says the Medrash that Bischus, these ten challenges that Avraham Avinu endured, grew from instead of becoming diminished from. So there were ten plagues on Egypt. There were ten plagues in Egypt. Because this is where I think it's a little bit of a rough edge in the Maharal's thinking. We gotta work this clear. Because just like Hashem, when Avraham Avinu had to go through ten plagues, sort of, in order to be MS, so we have to find out the truth about the Egyptians. And being that we have to find out the truth about the Egyptians, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't just look at it superficially, so to speak, and say, okay, well, the Egyptians are okay, you know, or they're acting okay now, or they changed their mind. He made it go deeper and deeper. And you see this, because even though Vayakshah Hashem is late paro, his test was Hashem kept on hardening his heart. Because it's easy in a moment of inspiration. In a moment of inspiration, it's easy to pass the test. The question is, you know, when you're not in a moment of inspiration, when you're in a rational moment. So Hashem hardened his heart to see whether, is it just, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, in other words, like, let's say, I think it's a very delicate point, we've got to be careful here. But let's say somebody knocks at the door, you know, and, you know, a little poor orphan that looks hungry and is crying and says, can you give me a little bit of food? And you look on the table and you've got an extra piece of bread and you give him a piece of bread. And you say to yourself, wow, am I a tzaddik? You know, this is a wonderful thing. What's really happening here, I don't want to be cynical, but what's really happening over here is it's not, who cannot, in other words, the setup is such that you'd have to be like a stone to not give this kid. But does that mean that my nefesh, in other words, everybody's got a weak point. But the question is, do I have a strong point? So if tzedakah is my weakness, so then I haven't yet passed the test. If tzedakah is my strength, I'm proactive in it. I see it. I'm able to endure a challenge of tzedakah even without the tears and without everything. I just see this is what I'm supposed to do. This is the correct way to live. So that's on a whole different level. So therefore, vayaksha, so that's what you have in the parsha over and over again. Vayaksha Hashem is lay paro. Hashem kept on hardening Paro's heart. That this shouldn't just be an emotional response to pain, your pain, the pain of the Jewish people even. It shouldn't be just an emotional or being an overwhelming epiphany of the words of God, you know, and the makos and the miracles. Those would be emotional responses. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't looking for an emotional response. He hardened his heart. And the idea was, let's see, Paro, Mitzrayim, let's see what you really are. Let's see if you've really grown from this. They failed the test, as opposed to Avraham Avinu passing, enduring, growing from the test. Paro failed the test.
Well, what would have happened if they had passed?
So Hashem would have saved them, and there would have been peace. See, there's so many different ways that to solve the Egyptian bondage problem. You know, I just it's just such an interesting thing. Like, you know, in Sudan, where you have a big slavery issue and a big civil war going on over there. So different numbers of how many people got killed in the last 12 months, some say a million. You know, this is the tsunami, is like kid stuff, you know, compared to what, you know, and nobody knows what to do exactly because the cultures are so difficult and the UN doesn't know, nobody knows what to do.
Just a raid.
That's the Marine answer.
That's right.
Military solution here. Let's kill them all. Let's kill them all. That would be the best. Stop the war. No, so interesting. So yesterday they made peace.
Huh?
You know, and yes, they made peace. You know, yesterday they made peace. You know, they sat down and they made peace, and everybody's on the street and they're hugging each other. It's so interesting. So you read the responses of the United Nations. So he's like so totally disappointed in this because he had this whole plan about how they're going to send in the peacemakers and you know, they made peace, you know. So what shout is that you know, like the whole, you know, the Secretary of State was going to go down there and with his bulletproof vest and try to work things out. Everybody's working things out. You know, they make peace. You know, mess up the whole. You know, so the pshat is that Kadosh Baruch Hu was gozer that there should be bondage and war and poverty and killing and murder for X amount of time, and the gzera was over, and that's it. That's the end of it. You know, that's the end of it. It's not. It doesn't necessarily have to come about through people stuff. I mean, Kadosh Baruch Hu fixed it up. So like everybody sitting there and ruler. So like you talk about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, there are so many different ways that the problem could have been solved. It could have just been solved. Pharaoh could have just woken up in the morning and said, you know what? This is ridiculous. What are we fighting about over here? You know, the Jewish people are not such a bad people. Let's just let them free. Let them go to Eretz Yisrael. If they want to go to Eretz Yisrael, they'll go to Israel. Like, oh, let the Jews go to Israel. What the heck? And it's not what happened. What happened was that it went through a process of Makos. Why? So here's where the morale tells us. Levarer, this was a schus that the Jewish people had. Levarer amitas atzman, just like Hashem did with Avraham Avinu. So Yudalev, you have the mita keneged mita here? Because I don't. You have the mita keneged mita clearly? So let's hear it. Say.
Just like Avraham passed his tests, he was like, sort of, how could a nation that hasn't passed its test subjugate a nation that has already passed its test? So in order to, you know, I mean, this isn't going against what you just said, maybe, so it might not be right, but in order to be in the position that they were in, they had to pass all their tests. They weren't allowed to be doing what they're doing without passing the tests.
Not just subjugate, but exist.
Exist.
Like, you know, in other words, you want to exist as a nation. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu so medactic on the Egyptians? So he's not medactic on the Armenians. Why is he so medactic on the Egyptians? The answer is B'schus Avraham. That was B'schus Avraham. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, we're going to look for emes with the Egyptians. We're not just going to look for a superficial change. I'm going to be makbid on the emes. And the emes went all the way till Makas Bechoros to see whether they were be'emes Rishoyim. And they flunked that one too. They failed everything. Whereas Avraham Avinu passed with flying colors the Nisoyon of Akedas Yitzchak. They failed with flying colors. Okay, that was the Marah. Let me just move now to a different shlav here, a different aspect. We spoke about a little bit. You know, the Haggadah, it says as follows. Here's a line from the Haggadah. You write this down, say this at the Seder. Baruch HaMoko, it says, which means?
Blessed is the place.
Thank God. God. Baruch HaMoko. Moko means God. Shakarish Baruch Hu Chisha v'Sakeis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew exactly the exact moment of Geula. Baruch HaMakom, this is a praise we say to Hashem. Shakarish Baruch Hu Chisha v'Sakeis. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew the exact second. So what's the what's this Baruch HaMakom? Reb Dov, how'd you learn Pshat of the Seder? Baruch HaMakom, Shakarish Baruch Hu Chishav Esakeis. Kind of quotes a bunch of psukim. Kadosh Baruch Hu went with the exact right memo. What do you say, Uri? What's the big greatness of Kadosh Baruch Hu Chishav Esakeis?
Kadosh Baruch Hu Chishav Esakeis. The Gula comes from him. It comes from
him. I mean, the accents on Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Right.
Or that. Right. So similarly, like I would say, this pashut of shot probably is that, you know, when you're in a batz of, when you're in a situation of tsaros, so it seems like there's no way out of those tsaros, and like you're going to be in here forever, and this is a bondage which is never going to leave the Jewish people, or you go out for a couple hundred years, and you know, there's nothing changing except that it's getting worse. So what should change? There's more Jews. The Jews are getting more slaves. They're being more difficult to the Jews. There's no way out. There doesn't seem to be any way out. So we all get into a situation in life where there doesn't seem to be any way out. That's our little Mitzrayim that we get. There's just no way out of this one. You know, just no way out of this problem. I can't get out. Person's in debt. I can't get out. Person has marriage problems. I just can't get out of it. I can't get trapped. You know, so that's their Mitzrayim, like trapped. we're trapped. But while we're feeling trapped, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pishav HaSakeis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that this is all going to take place, this is all going to happen for 210 years, and then on the 14th of Nisan, exactly at midnight, there's going to, you know, that Gzeira is over, and Klal Yisrael goes out of Mitzrayim. So, like, as much as we feel trapped, there's an exact moment of emancipation that takes place in the Jewish people's lives, as a nation, and history, in our lives. There's a moment. You know, so we're just waiting for the moment. When's the moment? And it's not up to us to necessarily figure out how do you get out of this trap. So that's maybe the you're asking like a simple pshat. Now Barbanel says the pshat is like this. The beautiful Barbanel, I think. The Barbanel says that everybody knows that when the Jews were in Egypt, they descended to Memtesh Shari Tuma. Right? That means to say that how low can a person get? How low can you get? The answer is pretty low. A person can get pretty... I was reading yesterday, I mean, this is a comparison, but just I was thinking about that I was reading yesterday an article written by a heroin addict. And the guy has some problems in life, and he got into heroin, and he spent 3 years of developing this, you know, heroin addiction. So at the end of 3 years, he was like praying to die, and the reason was because he had such a severe addiction to heroin, such a need for heroin, but he had no more veins that he could use to get heroin, and no way to get this heroin into his body. Imagine, like, this is a madrega, right? So, and apparently he started to inject heroin into his knuckles. The veins in his hand weren't able to handle this much stuff, so blood vessels popped all over the place. Okay, it's pretty disgusting, but it's just like, I'm thinking to myself, you know, that didn't work, so he started to go straight into his muscle. You know, forget about the veins, just get straight into the muscle. So, he messed himself up big time, but he became suicidal. I mean, seriously suicidal. They were, like, literally holding him back from killing himself in a hospital because, you know, it's one thing, like, to need heroin. No way to get the heroin into his, like, imagine that. Like, such a need, and no way to get the drug. Like, an amazing thing. So this story. You should read this article. Like, an unbelievable thing. You know, so you talk about, like, how low can a person, I don't mean low in terms of bad. I mean, how much can a person fall in life? You know, 3 years, 3 year process went from a healthy, relatively healthy, psychologically healthy military man, had some problems and fell. So, okay, so just as an idea of falling into a pit, you know, physically, psychologically, spiritually, it's hard to, yeah. So here Chazal tell us, the Zohar tells us, that this can be divided into 50 levels. There's 50 levels that you can descend. So, Klal Yisrael, when they were in Egypt, not just from a spiritual point of view, but from a psychological point of view, from a self-esteem point of view, from a physical health point of view, from every point of view, they descended, and they got down. They got down to the number 50, 49. They descended 49 Shari Tumah. So you think about this: this is the Jews in Egypt. The majority of the Jews in Egypt fell to the lowest place that a human being can fall. That's 49 Shari Tumah, and this was all because of the bondage and the torture. And I mean, it was like, you know, your kids are being killed on a regular basis. They're being thrown into water and terrible, right? No food and no supplies, and working day and night and being whipped with whips. And so the abuse brought them down to the 49th level of Tumah. Boom, 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 49 levels of Tumah. And then came the Geula. And this was a whole rehabilitation job to get the Jews back to a place where they can move to Eretz Yisrael and create a government and create a nation and appoint kings and do all the stuff that the nations have to do. So 49. So it says the Abarbanel like this. Let's say the Jews would have descended to place number 50. One more. So if they would have gone one more Madrega down, who knows what that Madrega is? I don't even know what that Madrega is, you know. If they would have gone one more down, Hayimanatek is Kishram, they would have cut their connection with God, and they would have been unsavable. They would have been unsavable. Can't hear you. Some of them, but the people as a whole, let's say the majority even, but the nation of the as a whole, in other words, the Jewish people, there was such a thing as the Bnei Yisrael that didn't hit the Shaar HaMishim. So if they didn't hit the Shaar HaMishim, they were still savable. Can you read? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev es HaKeitz, says the Abarim Vanel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew the exact breaking point of the Jewish people, and at, just as they were about to descend into the point of no return, which would have been level 50, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them, and here we are. So Baruch, so for that, whole new shot, right? For that, we say, Baruch HaMakom, thank God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev V'Sakeitz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that, that if we go any further, we're not going to be able to be savable at all. There will be no possibility of salvation, spiritually, physically, psychologically, emotionally. There would have been no way to save these people. It would have been the end of us. So I don't know what would have happened to us, but it would have been the end of us. We would have, I guess, just absorbed into the Egyptian people. We would have died out. I don't know what would have happened. But we didn't get to the Shaar HaMishim. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev is HaKeitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew exactly the moment to take us out of Mitzrayim. He took us out. Okay. So says the Abarim
Vanel. The one that died in the darkness.
Must have descended. Must have descended. I guess. I'm guessing. Now, let me just point out, like, here's the problem with this Abarim Vanel, to my mind. Like, you know, let's say you're a lifeguard. You know, and you're sitting at the beach, right? Shmuel's probably a lifeguard, right? All right?
Yeah.
Guess wrong. Okay. Let's say you're a lifeguard. You're at the beach. You're sitting on the
beach.
Or you're sitting on the tall chair. You're where you're.
I went to the beach a lot. I just didn't save mine.
Right, no lie. You're on the receiving end.
Right.
So here's the story. You're up there, you're on the high chair, you got your binoculars, you got your sunglasses, you got your suntan lotion, you've got your radio, you got all the stuff that you need, all your gear, you know, and you look out and you see a little kid about, 150 feet out in the water and separated from his group, from his buddy and his parents, and he's out there and he seems to be bobbing, and somebody else takes a look and says, you know, that kid is drowning, you better go out there and save him. We got time. Okay, he's going, he's screaming, says, help me, help me, help me. We got a little more time, you know. And, he's cool, let's wait till the end of the song, you know. And finally, the kid is just about to pass out and drown. He lost his strength and he can't tread water anymore. So the guy takes a dash off the chair, runs out in there and takes a little raft out there and his ropes and his mices, and he saves the kid's life. And he brings him and he gives him artificial, revives him, and everybody's standing around, and the kid gets up, and his parents thank you very much. You know. So what do you say about this lifeguard? You know, puffs. I shouldn't say that as an analogy to God here, but I'm asking a question. Like, you wait for the last moment to save the kid? You know, you see the kid is having a hard time. You see he's separated. Blow your whistle, get out there and help the kid. What, do you have to wait till the last second, make a whole big dramatic salvation of this kid? Doesn't make any sense. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to save the Jewish people. If you see that we're falling from a place of holiness to the first Shaar of Tumah, to the second Shaar of Tumah, to the third Shaar of Tumah, okay, like, get in there and save them. Like, what? Baruch HaMakom, right? Thank God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev es HaKeitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew exactly when to save us. When does he save us? Just before we're about to drop dead as a people. So, what's the Baruch HaMakom? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for the last second over here. What is it? What does it mean? Why? What's the purpose? So, you want to say chat?
Hmm, it seems that if, you know, if you just pick a random time, it means he really wasn't, we wasn't in control the whole time. It's an exact moment that actually says he's in control. He's still...
100%, but you're not answering the question, because why couldn't he be in control at 22? Or 23. Whatever these 40 died, which by the way, like you say Sphira Sa'ober, which is what the Jews did as soon as they got out of Egypt, they climbed up 49 levels of Kedusha, they were climbing right up the same rungs of the ladder that they fell down. You understand this, like, you know, the Chesed Sheba Chesed, the Gvur Sheba Chesed, the Netzach Sheba Chesed, Tiferet Sheba Chesed, all of those things that we're climbing up in order to get the Torah, we're just climbing back up. That's what Sphira Sa'omer is, which took place immediately after the second day of Pesach, right? Took place exactly as we went out of Mitzrayim. So all of that was climbing up where we fell down. So why are we allowed, why is Hashem, okay, he's in control. He's watching. But it's very good. Let's put it on a personal level. Like, let's say we're falling. And we're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us. We're falling. I'm falling, God, help me. So, okay, you fall further. You get frustrated. I just stop it. Why don't you, okay. The Gemara says, Kaveh El Hashem. It doesn't work. Chazak v'yavitzli becha v'kaveh el Hashem. Right? It doesn't work. Daven again. Daven again. Afilu me'yapav. Daven. Don't give up. Keep on davening. Keep on working. Keep on trying. Okay, why are you letting... And then finally, Baruch Hashem, like I'm 67 years old, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes me out of my tzaras. Where were you? if you're here the whole time, where were you? That's what the problem is. So what's the answer, Shmuel?
Because when you hold on... Depths of you know Hades to Hashem. It's a big scoop, like it's a giant scoop. You're suffering beyond suffering. You're still holding on to Hashem. It shows a lot about the person.
Oh, like the 10 Nesiodos of Rav Avinu. So let me say it. Everyone hear what Shmuel said? The chat is okay. It's a schus. I want to say something deeper. Let me say something deeper. I think. Excuse me. I think it's even more so that what. The Jewish people descending in Egypt 49 levels was, and then being saved, means that as history will unfold, and we will go through destruction of the first base of Mikdash, and the destruction of a second base of Mikdash, and all kinds of golos, and all kinds of inquisitions, and pogroms, and holocausts, and spiritual crises, and intermarriages, and enlightenments, and all kinds of things that we have to go through. How much strength do we have as a people to hold on? How much strength do we have as a people to hold on? And the answer is, we have exactly as much strength as the Jews in Egypt were able to endure and place into our spiritual gene system. Because what happened was that if Hashem would have saved us on the third level, of Tuva, then we would be able to handle as a people three levels of descent. And if we would have gotten to the fourth level of descent, we would have disappeared at that point. Because we don't have it in our historical genes to be able to deal with anything more than this problem. But because Mitzrayim, that's what the Egyptian experience was all about, that was the making of the people, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to descend 49 levels of tshuva, and he forced us to learn how to survive on level 23, on level 24 and sinking, on level 25 and sinking, level 26. He allowed us to survive. He allowed us to fall down. Okay, how are we going to stay a people now? And how are we going to stay a people now? We fell further. How are we going to stay a people? But we figured it out. We were able to do it, even to the last point. So now we have the koach, now, only now, because they went through this, do we have the koach as a people to be able to pull ourselves off out of the mud and wipe off hisnari me'of our kubi. We're able to get up and wipe the dust off of our clothes and say, okay, look, we, it's an amazing thing. If I just like a little bit of history, just something, I mean, our history, modern history, you know, you look at the Holocaust. I say the Holocaust because it's close to us, you know, the Holocaust, you know. I'm not so old. When I was born, so the Holocaust had just finished. Right? I mean, so it's not like ancient history. Just finished. I mean, people came out of the camps 10 years earlier, 15 years earlier. But it wasn't so far away. Nobody was able to speak English yet, even. All the people. So you look at the Holocaust. People went through, unimaginable hell through the Holocaust. Gedolah. You look as the loss of people, the loss of everybody's friends. I came across a couple of weeks ago in my house a sefer that my father-in-law, Olam Shalom, who was in Telz in Europe during the Holocaust. So there's a sefer that he... he had. It was like a Sefer Ezikaron they put out for Telz. It was the Divrei Torah of all the people in Telz that perished in the Holocaust. So it had all these Divrei Torah, beautiful Divrei Torah, all these people. And then in the back had a list of all the different Talmidim of Telz that had died. And next to the name, so I saw it with a pen, there was a check mark next to a whole, maybe 100 of them, 110 of them. So I asked my wife, you know, she grew up with the Sefer. I said, what's the check mark? These were friends of my father. Chas v'sholom, loyal lady. I mean, like everybody here's friends, you know. Like, so you talk about, you know, losing 110 friends in a year. I mean, it's like these were his friends, you know. So can you blame a person for any type of reaction, any type of negative reaction to that type of a trauma going on? And he was a guy, just talking about him, he was a guy that went through 11 passports. He kept on taking his American passport and giving it to somebody, a friend, so he could get out of there, and then going to the embassy and begging them for another passport. He finally came back to America. He wouldn't use the passport to go back to the United States because I can get another one, maybe. They went through 11 passports with fake, you know, unbelievable thing. But still, lost 100 friends, more than 100 friends. Okay, so, like, it's unbelievable what Jews went through. I'm not talking about the ones that died. I'm talking about the ones that survived, you know. It's unbelievable what they went through. Kal v'chomer, the ones who lost their family and their parents and their kids and everything else. It took, I believe historically, 12 to 18 months before the people that went through the Holocaust started Lakewood Yeshiva, Ponovitch Yeshiva, Slabotka Yeshiva, Navardik Yeshiva, Hebron Yeshiva, again, you know, all of the Mir in Israel. It took months, not years, months on the boat. These people who just suffered what they suffered just went through the time and said, got to build yeshivas. Those are the ones that we know about. There was another couple thousand said, we've got to build shuls in America, in South Africa, in England, in Australia. And other people said, we've got to build schools. You know, and unbelievable. Here we are, 55, 60 years later. Like, it's, you know, everybody walks around, you know, Badersdorf, you know. Like it's unbelievable. You know, the Badersdorf, Unsdorf. These are seven kahilos here that were destroyed. These Badersdorf, Woodsdorf, all these little shtetlof that were named after over here. Some of them, people know some of them, don't even realize it's named after them. This whole area, this whole row, from ooh. 2 minutes, okay. These were all named after the kahilas that were all destroyed. When did they come up with the idea to build them? Year after the it's like an amazing thing. So where do you get the strength from? Where does the strength come from? The answer is because since there was a descent in Mitzrayim, it all comes from Mitzrayim. Since there was a descent in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a surgeon, had to be extremely careful to let the Jewish people fall. This is what the Abarbanel means. To let the Jewish people fall as far as they can and still exist as a people, level 27, level 28, level 29, let them hold in there, and then save them at the very last second, so we have 49 levels that we can now endure as a people and still come out of it alive as a people. We always have losses, we always have casualties, but we can do it. So it says the Abarbanel, this is what it means. Baruch Hamako, thank God, somehow we can thank God that God lets us suffer, because he knew exactly, not just that he didn't let us go to the 50th like the lifeguard. I'll get you, I'll save you at the end. This was a much deeper thing than the lifeguard. What this was is it was allowing us to endure, to maintain our ability to survive through the deepest challenges of number 39, number 40, number 41, until he realized no more, you can't do it anymore. But then when we emerged as a people, we climbed back up the 49 levels until we got to Mount Torah. That was the 49 levels of Kedusha, of Tara. And here we are, able to survive as a people almost anything. So that is the pshat, the deeper pshat, in the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu, the nisyonos of the Egyptians, and the nisyonos is the third part of the trifecta, which is the nisyonos of the Jewish people that they went through in Mitzrayim, in falling down spiritually and then able to, you know, what do you say, Yehuda?
Why can't you just ask a question on the rest of the time? Why didn't King Manu III just only give us the third level
Taurus
and the rest of the time?
Because we wouldn't be as great a people if we would only be able to survive 30. The greatness of Avraham Avinu is that why did his life have to you know, all this means I should be quiet. But all of the greatness of Avraham Avinu is, why did Hashem just give him an easier life? The answer is because it's not about having an easy life, hard life, surviving life. I mean, you're bringing up the main point here, which I didn't. The main thing is, the whole purpose of life is, the whole purpose of the world is that it's a university for the soul. So the whole idea is, how great can we become? So if we can only become 30, then we get a 30. That's as great as you can become in this world. The answer is, you can become a 49. The 49ers. I'm the 49ers. What's the 49ers? Football team?
It's a rugby team.
Rugby team. Rugby team. They throw around a funny looking ball. Funny looking ball. Okay. I'm sorry. Oh.